We'd like to get started. Our time is somewhat limited this afternoon since Professor Durham and others will be taking over the area here a little after 3. We'd like to ask everybody to get seated. Now, everyone will need headsets. Everyone will need headsets because most of the program will be in Vietnamese. So make sure you've got your headsets. We'd like to welcome you all this afternoon. We hope you've enjoyed the lunch. We hope it doesn't put you to sleep. We think the program will be sufficiently entertaining and interesting that you shouldn't fall asleep. My name is Jim Pollock. I'm Special Projects Administrator for the Law and Religion Center. And don't ask me what that means. I think it means that was a designation selected by Professor Durham. I think it means that I do whatever he wants me to do, he and the staff. So I find myself up here. But it is a pleasure to moderate the Vietnamese group. We lived in Hong Kong for 3.5 years, starting in early 2004, and I've made numerous trips to Vietnam and have had the privilege of meeting with Vietnamese officials at all levels, from the city all the way up to the national government. In fact, it was just a few years ago that Mr. Ting and I were in a meeting with some of the senior officials in Hanoi. So it's good to get reacquainted with him. We have probably, at least to my knowledge, the highest ranking delegation that we've had here at this symposium. And I've been involved for 8 years now. And it's a pleasure to be able to introduce them. On my right, we have Mr. Dang Thai Ting, who is Director General of the Department of Internal Cooperation, the Government Committee for Religious Affairs. He will be their primary presenter. And then joining him on the stand, to his right, is Mr. Boy Tan Ha, who is an expert in religious studies for the Ministry of Public Security. And to my left is Win Thi Qua, who is Director General of the Government Committee for Religious Affairs. Now, we should have plenty of time for questions and answers following Mr. Ting's presentation. We'll go into that presentation now, Mr. Ting.
Yeah. Chairman, delegates, allow me to speak in Vietnamese because my English is very poor, so that you can understand clearer and better, so that you can understand what I say. So, now, let's begin. Thưa quý vị, trước hết thay mặt đoàn Việt Nam và nhân danh cá nhân, tôi xin chân thành cảm ơn Trung tâm Nghiên cứu Luật pháp và Tôn giáo Quốc tế thuộc Trường Đại học Brigham Young và cá nhân Ngài Durham đã có thư mời đoàn Việt Nam tham dự hội thảo đầy ý nghĩa này. Và xin kính chúc sức khỏe ông chủ tọa cùng quý vị đại biểu. Sau đây, tôi xin được tham gia vào chủ đề với nội dung chính sách tôn giáo của nhà nước Việt Nam góp phần quan trọng bảo đảm quyền tự do tôn giáo và đồng thuận xã hội. Chúng tôi thấy rằng chủ đề của hội thảo năm nay kết nối các cộng đồng ngôn ngữ khác nhau, làm thế nào để bộ máy tư pháp, giới học viện, chính phủ và các tổ chức quốc tế thúc đẩy tự do tôn giáo.
The theme of this year's symposium, Connecting Communities of Discourse, How the Judiciary, Academia, Government and International Institutions Further the Work of Religious Freedom, as an attractive and taking interest in many countries as well as people. Vietnam is located in Southeast Asia with a long tradition of being a multi-ethnic and multi-religious country. There are more than 50 ethnic groups in Vietnam coexisting for a long time in the territory with a rich and traditional culture of belief and religious diversity. The structure of Vietnam's belief and religious system is composed of different streams of belief and religions, including native beliefs, worshiping polytheism, religions which arose from foreign countries, which are later brought into Vietnam, and religions which arose in Vietnam. Such religions that arose here in Vietnam include Cao Dai, Hoa Hao, and the Pure Land Buddhist Association. Religions have a tradition of harmony, unity, and tolerance towards each other. Religious followers and dignitaries of different religions live together and intermingle peacefully in the community of all Vietnam's nationalities in all areas and regions of Vietnam. As a consequence, there are no religious conflicts in Vietnam. Generally, all of Vietnam's religions stay attached to the nation and at the same time constitute a positive social and cultural factor, contributing to Vietnamese culture enriched, diverse, and unique. The state of Vietnam recognizes that religious ethics is in many ways appropriate to the course of building a new society. Therefore, when enacting policies, the state has paid due attention to the promotion of fine religious, cultural, and moral values in coordination with religious organizations to carry out the motto, leading a good life, living in good faith. The state of Vietnam has enacted policies on religious affairs corresponding to each development period of the country. The relationship between state and religion is very clear. The state of Vietnam affirms the principle of non-interference in the internal affairs of any religion. For ensuring people's right to freedom of belief and religion, from the first constitution of the Democratic Republic of Vietnam, 1946, to the present constitution, the right to freedom of belief and religion was regarded as a fundamental right of belief, and religion was regarded as the fundamental right of human belief. The 1992 Constitution clearly states citizens have the right to freedom of belief and religion, to follow or not to follow any religion. All religions are equal before the law. Places of worship belonging to beliefs and religions are protected by the law. Let me go get a horse. The state of Vietnam also has concrete legal documents aimed at creating favorable conditions for religious followers and dignitaries to enjoy the right to freedom of belief and religion in conformity with the laws and equal in all respects. At the same time, the state of Vietnam does its best for the right of belief and religious freedom fully ensured and promoted in all circumstances. The state of Vietnam consistently carries out the policy of respecting for and ensuring the right to freedom of belief and religion, to follow or not to follow any religion, to the right to operate and practice religion in accordance with laws. The state of Vietnam always pays attention to legitimate interests of citizens who follow belief and religion and shows clear and absolute attitude toward acts violating laws on religion, such as strictly forbidding any infringement upon the right or freedom of belief and religion of the people, coercing citizens to follow or renounce religion, or activities that encroach the life, human dignity of others. Vietnam's great all-nation unity policy also makes important contributions for the religions attaining religious unity. In practicing and developing together without any prejudices against each other. As well as the state of Vietnam shall not allow any religious discrimination for reasons of belief or religion. All religious followers in Vietnam, whichever religion he or she follows, are part of the great all-nation unity bloc. Therefore, the unity of followers of religions, unity of religious followers and non-religious people, and the great all-nation unity policy with the objective of a rich country, strong country, equal, democratic, and a civilized society are similarities for followers of religions staying attached to the cause of national development. In reality, religious followers always form an indivisible part of the community of all Vietnam's nationalities, making active contribution to the implementation of great all-nation unity policy in the course of national construction, together with the whole Vietnamese people, building a prosperous and happy country. As said above, the state of Vietnam's commitment to affirm the rights to follow or not to follow belief or religion has clearly been stated in Vietnamese legal system. All citizens have the right to follow belief or religion of their choice. Religions are equal before the law, and at the same time, causing no impact to the community's life and unity, national security, and social order, simultaneously making active contribution to the social stability and the national development. The state of Vietnam profoundly realized that religious freedom is one of the important human rights that should be respected and ensured. Therefore, in order for citizens to increasingly enjoy the right to religious freedom, and according to Vietnamese experience, the study for promulgation of policies on religion corresponding to each period and improving the legal system is the regular and essential work. Thus, researchers, legal experts, and state management agencies, as well as those closely related to coordinate and explore the irrelevant and supplementary points as proposals submitting to the National Assembly government for revising, improving existing legal documents aimed at meeting religious needs and ensuring citizens' right to religious freedom in conformity with the International Covenant on Civil Rights and Political Rights. To make contribution to sustainable peace in the region throughout the world, with experience in recent years and on this occasion, the delegation from Vietnam has come up with several ideas as references for respected delegates. First, to attach importance to harmony between religions as well as between human beings should be an important objective, conducive to peace and prosperity for mankind. This is due to the fact that peace and social stabilities are conditional for their country to develop its economy, culture, and society, and based on that, religions may coexist in peace and develop together. Secondly, country governments need to pay special attention to help building unity between religions, and each religion upon respecting its unique characteristics. We must absolutely avoid offending the sacredness of any religion and refrain from religious discrimination, however large or small the religion is. Third, strengthening the exchange of information on religions between countries in the region, conducive to the promotion of fine values of religion and contributing to minimize negatives arising from the relation between religions affecting social stability and security and peace. Fourth, it's essential for countries to have respect and show respect for traditional cultures and customs in each country, and not to impose their own viewpoints on others, and to comply with stipulations of the international covenants and legal documents. We expect that at the symposium we shall share our understanding and experiences towards promotion of real values of life and human dignity and contribution to building a world of peace and happiness, making ideal sentiments of loving people spread to many places so that all people may live in loving harmony and religions may develop and operate precisely according to their purpose. We hope that all religions on the world develop in stability without religious conflict anywhere that they may exist, so that people on earth may live in peace, friendship, and happiness. Thank you, delegates. We wish you happiness and health.
As I indicated at the outset, we'll have plenty of time for questions, and while some of you are thinking of some, I'll start with the first question. I'll address this to the panel, and they can decide who would like to respond. One of the United States government representatives in the last couple of days has referred to the category of country of particular concern. This was one of the individuals that was involved with the United States Commission on Religious Freedom. In light of this, and in fairness to the Vietnamese delegation, since they didn't have an opportunity to respond publicly to that challenge, if you will, of their being categorized as a country of particular concern when it comes to religious matters, I'd like to ask the panel if they feel that designation is fair, and if not, why not? Mr. Ting, do you want to take a chance? Do you want to take a stab at answering that? That the issue, Mr. Ting, is the country of particular concern. Is it fair to categorize Vietnam as a country of particular concern when it comes to religious matters? Is that a fair designation?
Mm-hmm.
Would you like to respond?
Yes, thank you. Yes, I'm ready. Thưa quý vị, hôm qua đó thì một vị của trong Ủy ban Tự do Tôn giáo.
So yesterday, there's one commissioner in the Commission of the U.S. in talking about the matter that in September of 2004. Vietnam was placed in the list of countries that violate their religious freedom. And in November of 2006, the Foreign Affairs Department of the U.S. has taken Vietnam out of the list already. In fact, according to the Foreign Affairs of the U.S., they have acknowledge that Vietnam has made some progress in promoting and supporting the religious freedom in Vietnam for the Vietnamese people. After meeting with President Booth, and President Bush has said that Vietnam has made some big progress in the process of promoting religious freedom. We'd like to thank the comment from President Bush, and everyone in the State Department of the Foreign Affairs. Whatever the comments is, Vietnam government has always tried so much to promote and to support the religious freedom of the Vietnamese people. Because after 1945, after getting independence, Vietnam and the Vietnamese government has decided that that is one of the basic rights of the Vietnamese people. Just like any other things, Vietnamese religious has a history, and so when approaching that problem, we need to take into the factors of many different aspects before we can make a good access. In the recent years, Vietnamese government and the U.S. government has a very good relationship and has produced many good results. However, with the Commission of the Religious Freedom with the U.S. Commission of Religious Freedom, we will continue dialogue to make sure that everything is understood. On the basics of that dialogue, we will find the commonalities and we will work on those commonalities. And we will overcome the difference, the world is pretty diverse, and the custom and the history and everything is the same, it's very diverse. And we just can't just take into just one factor and make the evaluation of the whole thing. We have to take into many factors.
At this point, I would invite you to ask your questions.
Let me just ask for comments from, we have a representative of the United States State Department in our audience today, and I'd like him to respond because Mr. Ting has pointed out that the State Department is in disagreement with the commission, that position that you heard the other day. Can we have a microphone?
Thank you. My name is David Rottermel. I work in the Office of International Religious Freedom in the Department of State. Our office writes the annual report to Congress on international religious freedom, which surveys all countries and territories of the world. My friend, Mr. Knox Thames, who used to work in our office, now works for another body, as he explained yesterday, the U.S. Commission on International Religious Freedom, which is an independent commission that reports more to Congress than it does to the executive branch. Whereas our office is headed by an ambassador at large who is charged with negotiating and advancing international religious freedom. Our ambassador did undertake a lengthy process with the government of Vietnam. And Vietnam did indeed make such progress that in 2006, they were no longer listed on the countries of particular concern list that is determined by the Secretary of State. The U.S. Commission has its own list, which is what Mr. Thames was referring to yesterday, of recommendations. But their recommendation has not been adopted by the U.S. government, whereas the State Department's has. So in recognition of that progress, which was made by the government of Vietnam and was recognized by the Department of State in its reports, and that is why there is a difference in the recommendations. Our latest annual report will be published later this month, and you will be able again to see the reports on the various countries and territories of the world. And you can see the latest information at that time. But again, Vietnam is not going to be on our list of recommendations for countries of particular concern.
Thank you very much. We felt that in deference to our visitors from Vietnam, that clarification and explanation on their part and on the part of the State Department was justified and appropriate. I can personally testify that having met with religious affairs officials at all levels of the Vietnamese government, that they are indeed trying very, very hard to accommodate the various religions that are seeking access to their people. That doesn't mean that there aren't problems. We have problems in almost every country in which the religious affairs are discussed. But they are making wonderful progress, great progress, as indicated by the representative from the State Department, sufficient progress that they have been taken off of the CPC list, and as he indicated, when the report comes out later this month, they will not be on there again. Now we'll open it up to questions from the audience. Please wait until you get the microphone for the translators, please.
Thank you very much. Can you hear me? Is it on? Thank you.
You were okay.
Okay. Thank you for the clarification of a question that some of us had yesterday when we heard from the U.S. Commission. I'm very glad, Mr. Chairman, that you were able to get this on the table. And thank you for the representative from the State Department. Above all, thank you to our Vietnamese guests for the progress they've been making and continued encouragement. My question really resolves around what are the differences between commission, not institutionally, but why is State Department pleased with progress and why is there a remaining difference with the U.S. Commission on this? Would you characterize that in a quick summary? Not to go on and on, but I think some of us would appreciate that information.
I think the Vietnamese delegation would like to hear the answer to that question also.
That is a very good question. We are two separate institutions, but we're both created by the same U.S. law passed in 1998, the International Religious Freedom Act, passed remarkably enough unanimously by both houses of Congress and signed into law by President Bill Clinton. This was, I think, part of Congress's design was to get as broad perspectives on questions of international religious freedom as possible. They established an office within the Department of State to make sure that religious liberty is one of the core values of U.S. diplomacy. They also created this independent commission, which is headed by volunteer commissioners appointed, I believe, 3 by the executive branch and 6 by Congress. These are independent academics and independent experts on religion and religious freedom from a wide diversity of backgrounds and perspectives. Therefore, sometimes we have different perspectives. We within the State Department work more on the basis of country-to-country diplomacy. Sometimes I think we may have different sources of information, perhaps, whereas the Commission operates more in the realm of public affairs and press releases. We operate more behind the scenes in terms of face-to-face diplomacy. Our office tries to make sure that our issues are brought up whenever our department principals, like the secretary, are involved, or when President Obama went to Cairo and gave his speech, which dealt much with religious freedom. Whereas the commission makes their own fact-finding tours and they come to their own conclusions for which they, of course, are responsible. We have honest differences of opinion in some cases, and this is one of them. I think that's about all we can say about it.
Thank you again. If it's any comfort to our Vietnamese friends, some of our closest allies, like Saudi Arabia, happen to be on that list for reasons that might be obvious to many. We'll turn it back over to the audience for additional questions. And while you're thinking about it, I'll ask another question. The issue that I'd like to ask Mr. Ting is, what is the process by which a foreign religious body applies to the Vietnamese government for permission to operate within Vietnam? And the second part of that question is, approximately how many religious bodies, to date have been through that process and accepted by the Vietnamese government?
I'd like to thank you for your question, Paula Pollock. I want to say this. In June 2004, the Vietnamese Congress has passed the religion law and was in effect in the 15th of November in 2004. Before these amendments, Vietnam has about 16 different religions with different organizations. After 4 years of these amendments, Vietnam now has about 12 different religions and about 31 different religious affiliations. And according to that amendments, the Vietnamese government is continuing to look through the paperwork, and those that meet the criteria will be accepted and registered. And now, in Vietnam now, there are about 20 million members from different religious groups. Vietnam now has about 80% of the Vietnamese members has some kind of religions. And Buddhism has about 10 million members. And Catholics has about 6 million members. And Kaodaism, about 2.5 million members. And in Vietnam now, there are about 25 different worship, 25,000 different worship places. And the leaders of the different religious group are about 70,000. And I want to say this so to show that in the past year, Vietnamese government has supported and has promoted the religious freedom so that different religious groups could have normal activities. And now with the open door policy and integration, many foreigners have come to Vietnam with different needs of religions and has given pretty preferable conditions to worship in the worship places with different religious groups in Vietnam. I don't know if that answers your question yet, Mr. Pollock.
That does answer my question. Any elaboration from any other members of the panel? We'll go back to the audience.
Has the government entered into any written understandings with any specific religion in Vietnam? And if so, how is that working?
Hiện nay thế này ạ, về Việt Nam là một nước cũng.
So I want to say this: Vietnam has passed through many wars in the past, and in the renovation period, we are gradually to perfect our laws as far as religion goes, and religious activity of the foreigners are one of the things that we consider right now. And that process, during that process, the officials will continue and will also suggest to the Congress to pass those. And because every single country, when they suggest a law, this is a process of passing and getting opinions from the Congress and from the people. And that process takes time. Thank you for that question.
Another question? We don't want to give Cole too much time. We have another 20 minutes if you'd like to use that.
Barbara Colton, is it on?
Yes.
Barbara Colton, United States. I'd like to ask a question with regards to the publication and distribution of religious materials. Do you have a committee or a department that oversees this? Is it permissible for religions to publish and distribute materials? Or if they're published outside of the country, can they be distributed inside Vietnam?
Thưa quý vị, là ở Việt Nam hiện nay á, thì có nhà.
Ladies and gentlemen, today in Vietnam, there are many different religions, and every year, dozens of religions distribute different materials. For example, the Bible. As we know today, the Bible in Vietnam is spread all over the country, and there are plenty of copies for whoever would like one. And the Bible isn't only published in Vietnamese, but published in many languages of minorities that are living in Vietnam, so that these minorities may also use the Bible in their religious pursuits. The Bible is published in many minority languages that only exist in Vietnam and in Southeast Asia. Books are also published in other languages so that members of other faiths, such as Buddhism, can read these pieces of material and resources as well. And if you come to Vietnam, you'll see the diversity of the many books, of religious books in Vietnam, including books, Christian books, non-Christian books. There are There are plenty. In my country, this day, there are...
In my house right now, there's plenty, and there are about hundreds of different books from different religious organizations.
Thank you.
A follow-up question on that. One of the issues that religions around the world face in many of the countries in Asia and perhaps in Vietnam also, and that is religious materials that are published outside of, say, Vietnam, instructional materials, for example, that are used in various courses within the local congregations. Is it permissible to, under Vietnamese law, for those type of materials to be imported for the benefit of local members of the particular church?
Chúng tôi thì thấy là như thế này. Ở Việt Nam thì có.
This is our perspective. Today, Vietnam has many laws, publishing laws, when it comes to importing documents, religious documents and cultural documents. The issue is many religions have special needs that must be approved by the government.
Chuyên để mà giải quyết cái việc xuất nhập cảnh các cái văn hóa phẩm vào Việt Nam.
Another follow-up question. How does a religious body outside of Vietnam go about getting governmental approval to bring such instructional material into Vietnam?
Như tôi đã nói rồi.
As I was saying, because there's a law for importing different materials, especially religious material, to the country. Because before that, I also know that there's a lot of different religious groups imported different materials, and they also went through to different departments, especially like the Department of Culture, to get permission to import those materials into the country.
Thank you. Okay, back to the audience for questions, follow-up, or otherwise.
Michael Jensen again from the United States. I'd be interested to know, perhaps you've addressed this a little already, what trends in religious belief do you see generally in Vietnam? So, for example, are believers, those who have a religious belief, increasing, decreasing, staying about the same in Vietnam? And are there other trends, general trends in religions that you can comment on in Vietnam?
Tôi cũng đã thưa với quý vị khán giả.
As mentioned before, in Vietnam, most of the people has the need of spiritual life. Vietnamese can probably follow one belief and also follow another religion, at least one religion. And in the recent years, we saw that the numbers of the people that follow different religions has increased. And in fact, the different religious group in Vietnam, just as I mentioned in my presentation, they live harmoniously between themselves and And in one area, one district, that has people that follow Buddhism, follow Catholicism, or different religious groups. So if you go to Vietnam, you will see in one small area, there's one church, and next to it, there's a pagoda, or next to it is the Catholicism worship place. And so all of those, they work together from a very long time. So there's in Vietnam, there is not very rare to see the conflicts, religious conflicts, because Vietnamese people tend to be harmonious and tend to work in between themselves.
Another question here.
Yes, this is Dave Christensen. I'm Dave Christensen from the United States. As I've attended the various sessions, I've heard different perspectives on what freedom of religion or belief means. And yesterday, as I listened afterwards to your discussion with Knox Thames about his view on Vietnam, you made the comment, well, I believe we see this subject a little differently. But you also said we should focus on our similarities. And while I believe we have many similarities in our beliefs, sometimes it helps us understand more clearly to define what some of those differences might mean. So I am curious to know when you said, I guess we see this subject a little bit differently, in what way would you see differences in your view of freedom of religion from the view that he expressed? Just in general terms, I would be interested in hearing what you would consider maybe some of those differences, because I think you've done a very good job of expressing some of the similarities and the common goals that we share in this area. Is that clear?
Yes.
Thank you.
Tôi cũng đã thưa với quý vị.
As I presented, the purpose of the government is to promote and to secure the religious freedom of the people. And so because of that purpose, even if it would have different means, and no matter whatever means that we go through, but if the people see that they do have the religious freedom, they can follow. And because of every country has a different policies, and because we just have a different history in making, and the last result, the last thing is the result of the policies that we had. And I want to say this, in Vietnam, we understand that Vietnamese government has a responsibility in making sure that the people has religious freedom. And there are ceremonies of different religious groups. And in those ceremonies, there's 500,000 people at least attending. For example, like in the Christmas time, or because there are 100,000 people to attend. And so local Vietnamese government has helped. They want to help to make sure that there's order in the traffic and in everything else, as to make sure that the people calm and comfort when they attend these ceremonies. And I want to give another example as well. There's other different international delegations to come to Quantri province and to attend the ceremony Lavan and have 1 million people. If we didn't have the help of the government, those religious groups could not have such success. So in behalf of the Vietnamese government and in the behalf of the local Vietnamese government, they do their best to make sure that the people have religious freedom. And in there, they have relatives. And in those religious followers, there's a lot of relatives and son, daughter, father, mother of the officials. And I hope that you all here could come to Vietnam. In the time, there's a lot of ceremonies from different religious groups or from other time that they have Christmas time or when the Buddhism has their big ceremony. You will see how it works and to validate my word today. Thank you so much.
Yes, Judge Wallace.
Thank you. I was in Vietnam last June, a few weeks ago, and I had no problem finding a place to go to church, and it looked very familiar. And I suppose when I go back to Vietnam next month, I'll find the same thing. I was advised of something when I was there, and I wondered if there's an answer for it. And that is that I was advised that religion seems to be progressing much faster in the south of Vietnam than in the north of Vietnam. That is, not only the Christian churches, but Buddhist churches and others seem to be expanding at a greater rate in the south than in the north. I wonder if that statistic is accurate. And if it is, do you have any idea why that would be?
Thank you for your concern, but concerning the development of religions, the country of Vietnam supports the development of all religions. And from different provinces, different areas of the country, we the promotion of each organization, each religion in that area. And at the same time, the development of religions depends on the needs of the people in that area. And so it could just be depending on the area and the people in that area. But your idea is acknowledge, and we will consider to. We will continue to investigate this.
We can just interfere in every time.
Thank you.
I am Don Allen from Utah. If a religious organization that is registered with the government believes that it suffers discrimination or any limitations on its rights in Vietnam, would this organization have access to a court of law to test its rights?
Chính sách của nhà nước Việt Nam ấy.
The Vietnamese policy is that all religions are equal according to the law, regardless of the number of members of the religion. And I can tell you that today in Vietnam, there is no prejudice between different religions. There are no conflicts, religious conflicts in Vietnam. And this is a blessing for Vietnam and for all of the religious organizations in Vietnam.
I asked my commission something.
Let me put the question in terms of what we're used to in Western countries, which may be unfair to our Vietnamese compatriots. But if a dispute arises, you've said disputes don't arise, but we find in our Western culture disputes always arise, unfortunately. And the issue is there judicial review available to an adherent of a particular religion who disagrees with a government decision relating to their practice of religion? Judicial review, I believe, is the question.
Yes, my associate will participate in this and answer this question. This question to us, we see that when religions in their religious practice have problems with the government, and there are miscommunications, then they can present their problem in front of city officials, and if that does not resolve the issue, then they can be taken to a higher level of court for the case to be under review there as well. Your question is correct in many different fields and can be resolved in a variety of ways.
Nếu các cấp chính quyền có những quyết định về mặt hành chính mà trái với các quy định pháp luật thì sẽ các tổ chức tôn giáo có thể kiện các cấp chính quyền ra tòa và sẽ bị xử lý ở tòa. Còn nếu cái đó mà thuộc lĩnh vực chỉ sinh hoạt tôn giáo thì sẽ do các cấp chính quyền và cơ quan.
And if the city officials can resolve this issue, then the better. And if not, then it can be raised to a higher level to other government officials. I'd also like to add one additional idea to this. Concerning all of your questions, I am excited that glad that you are understanding more about our country, and especially the questions about the development of religious freedom. And I suppose that the progression of religious freedom in Vietnam is much like that of other nations across the world.
Xin cảm ơn quý vị.
We want to extend our great appreciation to the delegation from Vietnam, their candor, their presentation. We also appreciate the questions from the audience, and again, the candor and with which those questions were responded to by our Vietnamese delegation. They have been most willing to discuss in private any of these issues, so we invite any of you delegates and others to visit with them privately. They are very candid and very open and very honest, and I think, as expressed, they are very appreciative of our attempts, especially in the Western world, to understand the things that they are going through in struggling to develop some of these concepts that come so easy to us, but in many respects are not easy for them. So we appreciate their participation today.
On behalf of Vietnam, we thank all of you, distinguished delegates, ladies and gentlemen, for your contributions and for your comments and questions, and to help us to learn of our responsibilities to be better. And we thank you, and we also thank the government and government officials of the United States to help us in many different fields. And we wish you the best. Thank you.